from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome into the Insiders. I am James Hamm. Joining me, Jesse Tapia today. Kyle is on vacation. We're finishing up the week without Kyle. And Jesse, the sky is falling. The sky is falling.
Is it falling or did it fall? Has it fell?
Has it already fallen?
Has it already fallen? Are we past that?
Yeah, I think this is one of those moments in time where you got to take a step back and actually think about what's happening and try to like put it in perspective and try to like kind of, this is tough. And I think today we get a lot to cover. The Sacramento Kings fell to the New Orleans Pelicans 135-123. Absolutely brutal loss. There were times where the Kings were down by a ton.
After that first quarter, I figured, oh yeah, it's going to be ugly today. They did fight back, but ultimately, I mean, New Orleans pulled away again.
Yeah, I mean, it really felt like every time it was such a game of runs. Like it was the strangest thing I had ever seen, like in the early part of the game. Like there was multiple like 6-point and 9-point runs. Then there was a 15-point run. Then the Kings have a 15-point run at the end of the first and early second. Then they get hit with like this monstrous run by the Pelicans.
Basketball, it's a game of runs.
I guess it was a game of runs. But look, I think this is one of those moments where you do have to kind of step back and have some sort of perspective. And we've got tons to talk about. We're going to get to 6 quick thoughts. We're going to preview the Kings-Suns game because this thing isn't over.
Yeah, season's not over.
No, it's not over.
Still a chance at the playoffs. Yesterday was ugly, but I mean, there's games to be played still.
Yeah, and I think for fans out there, like we'll do a little bit of a counseling session later in the show because I think that there's something about like the fan perspective versus the team perspective here. And I know that fans have like 16 years of angst built up because of the lack of playoffs forever. And then you finally get a taste of the good life and then you feel like your team is letting you down.
Yeah, it's just you don't want to go back either.
Yeah, I totally get that. But at the same time, you have to remember that the fan perspective is so much different than the perspective of the team because this is year 2 for the team. Now, De'Aaron Fox has been there for like 7 years, right? But this is his second year under Mike Brown. This is his second year with Domantas Sabonis full-time. His second year with Keegan Murray full-time. Like, this is the first, like, iteration of this team. And I think they know there needs to be changes this offseason. But at the same time, like, you have to give them the, like, sort of the leeway to find themselves here and to go through this process.
Yeah, well, I mean, De'Aaron Fox isn't in the locker room talking like the fans in the chat house. Yeah, might need to upgrade off HB in the offseason or anything like that. No, they're like, come on, guys, we got to figure it out and just do it like ourselves and stuff like that. So yeah, like yeah, they're trying to get it on their own.
Well, that and they haven't given up.
And
I think that's the deal. Like I think, you know, kind of a weird analogy would be, you know, if you have kids that are like, they're different, you know, they're the age gap between your kids is kind of wide, right? And you have all these expectations, you're a parent with someone and they get to a certain age, and then you have the other one that's coming up. Your expectations for your second child is usually, or your third, whatever it might be, your fourth, it's usually going to be somewhere around what the expectations are for your olders. But they all go through something different, and you can't expect the same thing. And everybody, like, you know, some kids are smarter than other kids, and some kids are more social than others. And there's all these things that you just don't want to acknowledge. You just want to say, okay, this, it worked the first time, and now it's not working. And I think with a lot of Kings fans at this moment, they're just so frustrated, and the angst is building. And
well, yeah, they haven't had a moment to be like, oh yeah, Kings are playing well, like everything's going good. They haven't had that moment at all this season. It's just more so like, oh, we're not playing well. Oh, they won two games. Oh, not playing well. Won two games, not playing well. There's been no moment for Kings fans to really just be like, oh, like enjoy this team, I feel like.
Yeah, you know what? I think maybe that's part of it. Like, there hasn't been the ability to enjoy it. Where last season, it was like...
Last season was all vibes. Like, once we got to the second part of the season after the All-Star break, yeah. Kings turned it up. We're like, oh, yeah, who are we playing in the first round or whatever? Like, oh, maybe who are we getting in the second round and stuff like that. It was all vibes last year.
I even think, like, the first half was like, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this is happening. Like, somebody pinch me.
Yeah, there's six games over 500. Now there's seven.
Yeah, yeah. And so... I think it's just like a little bit of like step back moment here, right? And like there's going to be a post-mortem on this season. There always is. Unless your team wins a championship, there's always going to be like this long discussion afterwards. And we're not there yet. We're not there yet because the Kings still have an extremely important game against the Phoenix Suns tonight. They still have an extremely important game against the Trailblazers on Sunday. And then, like, look, one way or another, they're going to have a play-in game. Whether it's a home play-in game or a road play-in game, we don't know. Whether it's one play-in game trying to fight for a second one or one play-in game trying to avoid playing for a second one, we don't know.
They'll have that opportunity. We know that.
Yeah, exactly. And so, lots to dive in here. So people understand what's happening at this point. With the loss last night, the Kings slid into a three-way tie with the Lakers and Warriors. They all have the exact same record. They're all sitting. They're tied for 8-9-10. The Kings are 2-2 against the Warriors this season. They are 4-0 against the Lakers. And so they're division rivals. So not only do they have tiebreakers because of like no matter what, they're going to have a tiebreaker.
So the Kings have the best division record in the Pacific, right?
Yes, they do. And they also have the best conference record, and they also have, because of their 4-0 victory over the Lakers, they also have the best cumulative win percentage against the three teams, right, of the three teams. So if they all end up tied, the Kings would get the higher seed of that group. But there's also the possibility that the Kings can climb back up to the seven. So what they can do is if they beat the Phoenix Suns tonight and they beat the Portland Trailblazers on Sunday, and then Phoenix loses to Minnesota on the final day of the season. And again, Minnesota has a ton to play for.
They're playing for the one seed.
They're fighting for a 1-2-3 seed. I mean, you don't want to drop to the three. You want to be as high as possible, right? If Phoenix loses and the Kings went out, the Kings would actually go up to number seven. They would host a play-in game sometime this next week. And then if they win that game, they become the seven seed. If they lose that game, they would play the winner of the 9-10 matchup. Now, again, I don't want to get way ahead of ourselves because we're not there yet. There's also a possibility that the Kings fall into the 9-10. There's also a possibility, hey, the Kings lose one game and both the Warriors and Lakers went out and the Kings are the 10 seed. And now they're going to have to go to L.A. or they're going to have to go to Golden State for a play-in game, and if they win that game, they would play the loser of the 7-8 game. If they lose that game, they'd be out. And so it's complicated. There's a lot going on still, but I also don't think it's time to just throw these guys out. Like just say, hey, this isn't... We know who they are, and we know that even if they make it through this, that there's not a huge likelihood that Malik Monk is going to walk through that door and save the day. And barring that, I don't think that the Kings have a whole lot of other options. Jesse, I also, last night, since we get through the play-in sequence here, we actually got Kevin Huerter on his injured shoulder. And like Kevin Herter's not walking through that door either. Kevin Herter is out for the season. He had surgery. Let's play the clip of at least the first couple of minutes of Kevin Herter from last night in the locker room with his sling on post-surgery.
Yeah, I don't think you should get used to sling, so I would rather not.
Just what do you overall just kind of go through your mind having this operation, kind of not being able to be here?
Timing obviously sucks, no other way to put it, but successful operation. It's something I felt like we needed to do for my long-term health and me not having issues with it moving forward, and squad kind of hopefully behind me, and looking forward to a good summer to get back.
Kemp, what went into that decision to whether, I mean, was there even a possibility of not having surgery, or once you got all the information, it was like, this was the only route?
Yeah, it was, it's an issue that I've had for a couple of years now. Nothing that was significant enough for me to have to fix it and get surgery on, something that I've played with and felt like I could get back to 100% and haven't had issues with in a couple of years. And this one, most recent, I'll call it episode, injury became more significant, and so then the decision became, playing through the injury obviously, or completely fixing with surgery. And where it was currently at, it could be 100% fixed with surgery, and the next time I injured it, every time you pop your shoulder out, the tear gets bigger, your bone could chip, or your cartilage in your shoulder, you could continue to wear that away. And so then it became, if I'm just waiting for the next time I get hurt, then there could be damage that I can't fix with surgery, and then you're never the same. And so because of the significance in the surgery, it was something that a couple of doctors were fairly certain it would pop out again. Like there's an injury there, and that was what, okay, if you're going to play through it, there's this risk of you're going to continue to do it and pop it out, and how fast can you get back from that? And so it became more of not a if, just a when, and for me to have the option to get fully 100% healthy and put this behind me, it just became, I just got to do it and get it done with.
Yeah, that's Kevin Herter. Interesting stuff, Jesse.
How long did he say he's been dealing with that?
Okay, so he went on to say afterwards to actually say he injured it against the Denver Nuggets, I believe, when he was playing with the Atlanta Hawks. He said a couple of years ago, and he had problems. But he also told us that it's something that he injured when he was like 10 or 11 playing football, and he had a dislocated shoulder. And so that's the first time. And then he's progressively, like, he's had it happen a couple of times in the past. But then this time it was like, okay, look, like, we're getting to, I mean, Kevin's 25, but you're getting to an age where, like, it's getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
And the likelihood of having reoccurrences is getting higher and higher. And so at some point, we got to go in there and fix it. And, like we've talked about that entails, they go in, they sew up the labrum. Basically, it's almost like a jelly donut, like, right? And so the jelly and the outside of the donut is pulled apart, and they've got to go in and stitch it back together. But then also they drill holes into the bone, and they put in little pins to hold it in place there.
A wild analogy comparison, but it works with a jelly donut.
Yeah. So anyway, it is what it is at this point. He made the decision to go shut it down. And, if you waited an extra 3 or 4 weeks, then maybe we are looking at postseason. Maybe we are looking at training camp, or maybe he can't play at the beginning of next season. It's a long surgery recovery. It's 4 to 6 months. And, so you got to do what you got to do at some point.
Yeah, you wonder how much something like that's been bothering him too. Because, the guy just never really got into it this season.
Yeah, I don't think it bothered him throughout the season until he actually had the injury.
I got you.
Yeah. So, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to step aside. We're going to take a couple of minutes to have a break. And when we come back, we're going to hit 6 quick thoughts. We're going to go through last night's game. There's some really good things that happened in this game. There's also some really bad things that happened in this game. But we'll get into all of that. We are the Insiders here on ESPN 1320. I'm James. He's Jesse. We'll see you in just a minute.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile, and on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, long time NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back in to the Insiders. I am James. Jesse Tapia is joining me. He is the potatoes of what we're calling it this week, ham and side dishes. Ham and side dishes. So you're the potatoes.
Yeah.
See, and this is why you're the potatoes, because you just fill in. You're like, here you are.
You texted me yesterday. Hey, you're in there. You're in tomorrow. Cool.
Yep.
See you tomorrow.
Yeah. See you tomorrow. That's it. There's no fighting with me. He just like, yep. All right, we're in.
Get to be on the radio tomorrow. Cool.
That's right. Hey, I like having you here. Like, it's good. This is good stuff.
Yeah,
man.
It's always fun stuff like that. It's good work for me.
Yeah,
you know, being on air and stuff like that. Get some development.
Get some development time. You are not the Colby Jones of this situation. That's for sure. You're more of the Keon Ellis in this situation.
That works.
Okay.
We started a street team in the G League or whatever, and we've kind of just worked our way up as the years have gone on.
That's right. I like this analogy. Let's get to 6 quick thoughts. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about here.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go?
Horrible.
Kings insider James Hamm has 6 notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's 6 quick thoughts.
I was getting number one right here.
We have a Black Falcon signing. Jesus. Harrison Barnes struggled through the entire road trip and hurt his team's chances to win. He looked refreshed, motivated. 22 points and 9 of 15 shooting, Jesse. 5 rebounds, 4 assists in the loss. I don't remember him having 4 assists in a long time. He was so engaged and gave them a different look and a different element. And it's like, man, I appreciate that you were able to do that, but where were you the last 5 games?
I mean, that's just the question we've been asking all year, I feel like. Just like, it's just the extremes. I was talking about the extremes. Like, it's just, you're here, and then, oh, you only took 2 shots yesterday. And of course, like, yesterday, we're always going to praise that and stuff like that, but it's just more so, can you do that tomorrow or tonight too, and maybe Sunday? That'll help.
Well, I mean, the only chance the Kings have against the Suns is for this Harrison Barnes to show up.
Yeah, at this point, without Monk, you can throw in Herter too if you want. Like, it's just, it's all hands on deck. Everyone has to show up. There's literally no room for error at this point.
Well, that, and Jesse, I think some of the things that he did in this game were, you know, they kept doing the double team thing on Sabonis, right? They kept trying to take away Sabonis. And as opposed to the spray three, Harrison Barnes snuck underneath the basket and Sabonis was able to find him for like wide open looks. And that's just like, where has that been? Because that was in the offense last year. That's the play where all of a sudden they ran that play like six times in a row against one team last season. And it was like the talk of like the media session afterwards. Okay, man, like where is that? And so like I thought, again, he was very, very good in this game. You know, we need to see that again and again and again.
Just be consistent, man.
Yeah.
All right, thought number two.
De'Aaron Fox took a minute to settle in, but he went to work against a tough defense. He got angry in the third. Typically, when he gets angry, it's a good thing. He flung a ball at an official, and he's actually lucky he didn't get tossed.
Yeah, was it the fourth or the third quarter when he got that tech?
I think it was a late third.
Okay, yeah, because you kind of like, was a foul, an offensive foul, at least the corner. Looking at the replay, I thought it was a foul on Fox. I just kind of didn't understand, like, what are you doing at that point?
Well, he felt like Dyson Daniels, I think that's who it was, had grabbed his arm before. And then he's just like, okay, if you're going to grab my arm, I'm just going to, like, truck you. And so...
I get the frustration, but it's like, it's just, can't let the refs dictate.
Well, that, and then he threw the ball at the official.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's very lucky that... And he said, oh, I bounced it to him. It's like, eh.
We know, come on, we know how the game is played, De'Aaron, come on.
I would just say the official was not going to be able to catch that for a wide open. It wasn't a pocket pass for him to like launch a three. Like, no, it was a skip pass, like basically hit him.
Yeah.
So, he let the frustration take over. And I get it, but 33 points, eight assists, five rebounds. He had two steals. The problem that he had is that took him out of like his mental state that he needed to be in, and he had six turnovers, one or two of which were just egregious, like right around that area where you're like, come on, man, including the offensive foul is one of his turnovers. All right.
Thought number three.
Domantas Sabonis had a few turnovers early, couldn't find his rhythm. He recovered, but 18 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. In a game of this magnitude, man, it is what it is. Like, Sabonis has to be better.
As in scoring more points or?
Better everything.
Because at this point with the whole Sabonis needs to score more, be a better second option and stuff, I think I've just come to peace with the fact that's just not him. And maybe in the offseason or whatever, the Kings just maybe got to add another score, whether it's putting Malik in the starting lineup next season or whatnot. But they do need that second score.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, they do need to address scoring. And I do think that Keegan Murray will take another step next year. And if you have Malik Monk back, he can take another step forward too. To me, first of all, the Kings got out-rebounded, 32-40. And Sabonis only had 10 rebounds. This was a game where, again, you needed like an 18-rebound game from him. You needed him to be so dominant. Even if it was 22 points, that would have felt better. 22, and then the assist numbers. He didn't get a bunch of assists because the Kings didn't hit all their shots, but they did shoot 16 of 38 from three for 42%. They did shoot 55% from the field. This is a game, again, you score 120. This is only like the fifth time this season they've lost when they scored 120.
Is this, I'm just asking the question, is this a recurring theme for Domantas Sabonis?
Like throughout his career?
As far as, we could call it with the Kings or throughout his career, because we've all watched him and stuff like that. But as far as like, because we see it in the chat, we heard it last in the Warriors series. I'm just asking the question, like I said, I don't necessarily believe it yet, but more so like, does he show up for the big time moments and stuff like that?
Yeah, I don't know that that's an issue yet. I do know that he's a focal point that teams try to take away. You run all of your offense through one guy. That means that it limits, like, number one, your offense, but it also makes it easier to defend. Like, if all you have to do is really try to take away one guy and then leave De'Aaron Fox to be the creator, the problem that the Kings have is that they don't have Monk. And I'm okay. Like, me and Sean Cunningham get into this discussion all the time on the Kings beat. I am A-okay with Domantas Sabonis averaging 19 to 20 points per game. I think that that's who he is as a player.
Yeah, I think I'm fine with that too. It's just a matter of, okay, Monty, you got to go fix what we're missing then.
No, totally.
Yeah.
That's where you can't expect more from this guy. You need to put the pieces around him that support him better. So,
all right, we're at thought number four, correct?
We are on number four. Second half, Keegan. For some reason, Keegan Murray is waiting until the second half now to get it going. It started late in the third. He had a pair of three-pointers. and it actually got the Kings going a little bit. And then he caught fire and hit three more in the fourth quarter. But it's like, okay, man, like a little too late. And I get that you want to let Fox get into the groove. You want to let Harrison Barnes find his game. You want to let Domantas Sabonis figure it out. But at the same time, like, this does not have to be a shared, like, a your turn, my turn type of situation. He needs to come out and look for his shot and be aggressive. And for that matter, he needs to come out and hit a shot. Because I think that's where, like, he goes 5 of 10 from 3, but 5 of those 10 makes came in the third and fourth quarter. Like,
it's kind of been the conversation since Kings drafted him. How do you get the quiet guy to be more aggressive, though?
Yeah.
I feel like Mike Brown's probably yelled at him. De'Aaron Fox has said it in press conference, but you want Keegan to do more. Like, how do you get the quiet guy to just be more aggressive?
Yeah, I know years ago, Paul Westfall told me about DeMarcus Cousins. He said, it's so much easier to try to tame a fire than to light a fire under somebody. And he's like, so while Cousins, yeah, that's a problem, right? But you'd rather have someone with passion and with fire and that you have to like try to work to tone back. Now, I don't think at the end of the day, he didn't believe that on his way out the door. Paul didn't. But initially, he had faced player or been teammates or coach players that had that like too much fire and you had to work with. And Cousins was a different beast.
Maybe we would just put up billboards all around Sacramento, just in bold lettering, Keegan, take over already.
Or, yeah, Keegan, take the shot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that's what they drafted him for, too. And that's how they talked about him since they've drafted him. Like, yes he's going to be part of this core. He is one of the guys. I don't know if Keegan has just heard that yet.
But he's also, I think your key there is they have said it. Like, this is what their plan is. And if their plan is that, and then you can't get to that point, then it really does put the franchise in a weird position. Because where do you go from there? And that's tough.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to number 5. Stepped up. Again, I'm just going to keep heaping praise on Davion Mitchell. Like, I've been on hard on Davion Mitchell plenty of times. But when somebody does something great or really good, like, look, that's you got to be honest, right? And I thought Mitchell was absolutely, like, he brought so much to the Kings last night. 5 of 8 from the field, 2 of 2 from three, finishes with 13 points and 5 assists. He even had, like, an incredible big rebound late, which is not his game at all. And I just think he's doing a really, really nice job of whether it's in Sacramento or it's somewhere else of saying, I am an NBA rotational player.
Yeah, with Monk out, I don't want to say he's done the job of like just taking his place or whatever, because we know Monk's impact and it goes beyond coming off the bench and all that. But Mitchell's done well, I think, to help keep the bench steady and not, I mean, more so like it's not the bench that's always killing them or anything like that. Like, he's done well just kind of to hold them steady, like I said.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, let's get to the final one. Reality check. With the loss, all hope is lost for avoiding the play-in tournament. The Kings currently sit 2 games behind the Suns for the number 7 spot. They are also tied with both the Lakers and Warriors for the 8, 9, 10 spot in the Western Conference standings. This was not a good day for the Sacramento Kings.
That game was, like you said, a reality check. It was a gut check. It was just more so, like, they hung around. But like anytime they got close, the Pelicans just pulled away every time. And it's just, it was the Kings' first wire-to-wire loss. Too. Shout out Ernie Johnson saying that stat yesterday after the game.
Oh.
And it's just more so, like, that just Kings are just not on the Pelicans' level right now. They're just not that good without Malik and those guys.
They're just not
good enough right now. That's just all it comes down to, honestly. They're just not good enough.
They're not good enough, but I also, like, there's something about this Pelicans team that they just don't match up with, and that's going to be something that they again, need to address in the offseason. Okay, we're going to step aside when we come back. We're going to preview a little bit of this Kings-Suns matchup tonight. We're the insiders here on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Welcome into the Insiders. I'm James Hamm. Joining me, Jesse Tapia today. Kyle Madsen is on vacation in England. I haven't talked to Kyle, but I'm sure he's having a great time.
I think he posted a picture this morning of him standing in front of a big gate, so things got to be going good, I'm assuming.
Oh, okay. At least he wasn't behind a big gate and, like, locked in.
That's always the thing, yeah. If your buddy is always taking the picture in front of the gate rather than behind, we're solid.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we don't want to see Kyle behind bars of any kind, even, like, Buckingham Palace. Just imagine Kyle
The dudes with their hats are just guarding them.
Yeah, Kyle did something silly, and the Buckingham Palace guards broke character and tackled Kyle. That wouldn't be good.
Yeah, no.
Everything is not over. The Sacramento Kings still have an opportunity here to not only, like, secure a 7 spot in the play-in tournament, but also, hey, look, anything can happen. We talk about it's a one-game series. It's one game. And
it's
if
a
you
scary
win,
game, James. Scary it, one game.
It's scary, but the fact is that if you win, you move on. And the Kings still have that ability to make the playoffs. And I know a lot of people are very, like, down on the team at this point, but there's also always a possibility. We've seen this team show resiliency at some of the darkest moments, not just this season, but last season as well. And I'm not ready to just say, hey, this thing's over. And I'm not, because we still got 2 games left. And tonight is, we keep saying this, one of the biggest games ever in Golden One Center history.
We can just say pay it forward on Sunday as well. Biggest game of the season.
That's right. That's right. It would be classic Kings to somehow win tonight and then lose on Sunday. And we're just sitting here shaking our heads on Monday saying, I don't know what to say. But the Sacramento Kings face the Phoenix Suns tonight. 7:30 start, I believe, at Golden One Center. It's another big, I believe, nationally televised game. They currently sit tied in the season series with the Suns at 2-2. They also trail the Suns by 2 games with 2 games remaining in the standings on the schedule. This is about as big as it gets. Again, we talked about this before, but the Phoenix Suns play the Minnesota Timberwolves on Sunday. Their path to the 7 seed.
It's a lot more difficult than the Kings.
It is, yeah. I mean, I guess you could say that they get to go through the Kings, so that might make it slightly more easy.
I'll give the Kings their respect. They're right there with each other the same way we got to play the Suns. They got to play the Kings.
Yeah, and I would also, Jesse, I would point out that early in the season, the Kings had no problems with the Suns. They went up 2-0 in the season series, and everything looked like it was on the up and up, you know, and then we had this game that didn't go well at all. And that is a game where they led by 20 with, 8 minutes left in the game, 22 with 8 minutes. And the Kings melted down in a seriously embarrassing way.
I think that's still the worst loss of the season for me, too.
Is it the worst loss?
For me, it is. For me, watching that, I don't think anything frustrated me more from the Kings this season than just blowing that game.
Okay.
Just because of how little time was left, how big of a deficit there was for the Suns. And, like, it was just, it happened all so fast.
Yeah, I totally understand why that would be a frustrating piece and why it would probably be the most frustrating moment of the season.
If you win that game too, it helps you out a lot more right now.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Yeah, if you had that win under your belt, then you're only down 1 game, but you already have the season series. Yeah, it's to me, it's really crazy to look at this series all year long. The Suns have great players, right?
All-time great players.
Yeah, they do. I mean, they have Kevin Durant. Devin Booker's turned himself into a great player. I know Bradley Beal, he's only played against him, I think, twice. And one of those games he left midway through the game, which is, you know, not atypical, got to be honest. But they've also, Grayson Allen's busted up the Kings a couple of times.
Yeah, he's kind of been their boogeyman, weirdly enough.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a big game. What are some of the things that you're looking for from the Kings in this game tonight?
They got to be perfect. De'Aaron Fox has to carry this team. Like, he's got to put up 30 plus, I think, for them to have a chance. And then you're gonna need Harrison Barnes to do what he did yesterday. Keegan Martin's not to be aggressive. Like, it's just everyone has to show up. There's no room for error, I think, with this.
Yeah, I mean, your room for error on the season is gone completely. But I'd also say that I was on with Phoenix Suns Radio this morning. I was on in Phoenix and they were asking questions about this stuff too. And I think it's really interesting. You look at their season. Kevin Durant, he's a legend, right? He's one of the top 10 players ever in the history of the game. He's just, you know, this aberration. Like, his
eighth all time in scoring.
Yeah, his length, his athleticism, everything is crazy. At 35 years old, though, Jesse, you know how many minutes he's played per game this season?
No, sir.
37.1.
He's kind of defied all the narratives about him and injuries, I think, the last few seasons. Like, he's been around this year.
Yeah, okay, so, and you talk about last season. Last season, he played 47 games. The year before, he played 55. The year before that, he played 35. The year before that, he missed with an Achilles injury, so... For him to play 73 games with two games left. So,
at his age, too.
Yeah, at his age, he's going to likely get, it's possible that he wouldn't play in the final game of the season if they beat the Kings tonight. Because if they beat the Kings tonight, I don't think they can be caught for the number seven, right? So this game does have a little extra importance. But that's crazy. We're talking about a superstar in the twilight of his career playing 37 minutes a game, averaging 27 points per game. I'm intrigued to see what he looks like in the playoffs. I want to see what Kawhi Leonard looks like in the playoffs. I want to see what Paul George looks like in the playoffs. I want to see what these aging stars look like. Even Steph Curry, who's had to backpack his team all season long. Anytime he's playing, they've got a shot. When he doesn't play, they don't have a shot. I want to see what these guys look like after the NBA mandates a 65-game season for players if they're going to qualify for postseason awards.
I'm real curious about Phoenix, too, in the postseason, because I feel like they were built for the playoffs. Like, you mentioned the regular season struggles and all that, but I feel like they're not a team that's going to be high seed or anything like that. They're more so built, all right, we got to the playoffs or whatever. KD, Booker, Beal, like, take us home now.
So,
but I think that also, I don't know how much that works. I feel like that's been the Clippers' MO for the last few years, and it just hasn't worked out.
No, it hasn't. But, you know, it did work out for the Lakers last year.
It's true.
Where it's just like, hey, let's get in. And then I would even look at who the Kings are surrounded by. Like, it's a crazy, you're surrounded by the Pacific Division, right? So, again, you're tied with the Lakers and the Warriors for the 8, 9, 10. But the other team is right there is the Suns. How many Hall of Famers do we have between these teams? Can you imagine
that? At least six. I said at least six.
No, it's probably more like 10.
Yeah.
So because you get the Warriors have... Well,
they got three. The Warriors have three.
No, the Warriors have four. They have Chris Paul.
Chris Paul,
well.
I forgot Chris Paul's out there.
So they have Paul, they have Curry, they have Clay, they have Draymond. And then you're talking about Booker and KD. And I'm going to put Booker in that category now.
He's on his way, I think.
Yeah, so what is that? That's six. And then...
LeBron and AD.
Well, and LeBron and AD.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
What puts it at eight?
Eight.
Well, that's the thing. It's kind of like for the Kings in the play-in, kind of just, oh, go ahead. Pick whatever door you want. You can either take this top 10 all-time player, you can take this top 10 all-player, or you can take this top 10 all-time player to play against.
Exactly. I mean, the other three teams that you're competing with right now for the final two playoff spots have every single one of them has a top 10 player of all time.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not like they're falling off either. Like, they're older players, but Steph Curry can still light you over 50. Same with KD, and we all know what LeBron is.
Yeah. That's not great. That's not great. So tonight, the Phoenix Suns, they will start... let's see, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, Royce O'Neal, KD, and Yusuf Nurkic. Jesse, what is your matchup of the game to watch for this one?
Let's go Keegan versus KD.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is big, right? This is where Keegan has to show that he's able to take it to another level, right? That he can't wait around. And Durant, in prime Durant, is one of the best defensive players in the league. Non-prime Durant is not. I mean, he's still solid, but I kind of want to see what Keegan has this late in the season. He's been struggling with a calf injury. He's been questionable the last two games with a sore calf. But at this point, the way he shot the ball last night, the way that he finished the game, I want to see him carry over how he finished right into this game.
And I want to flip that on the other side where Keegan's defending KD. Keegan's the only person, I think, on this Kings team that can make anything, make life difficult for Kevin Durant. I don't think if they put HB on Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant's going to get his. Anyone else, he'll get his. Keegan is the only one, I think, who can maybe limit him tonight.
Okay. I've also, like, watching Durant this season, I've kind of felt like he's no longer prime Durant, and that even though he does put up 27 a game, a lot of the times it's not as impactful as like him in his prime, where I think we'll probably see Keegan Murray play a little bit on Devin Booker as well. And then sort of the wild card is always Bradley Beal. Like, again, the Kings really haven't faced like Bradley Beal for a full game except for one time of the four previous meetings. And so, yeah, I think this is going to be, it's going to be a game that you have to watch all the way through.
Well, yeah, I feel like we know too, like if the Suns win this game, it's going to be because their stars lit you up. And the other way, like with the Kings, like if they win this game, it's because, yeah, everyone happened to show up today. I feel like we just kind of know, it's just which one's going to happen though.
No, it's true. It's true. And, you know, the last time, well, especially the game where they lost a 20-point lead late, their secondary players beat you. And that was a problem. Like you had Royce O'Neal hit a couple of threes. You had Nasir Little hit a big three. You had Josh Okogie hit one or two threes. And then you had Grayson Allen just go plaid.
Nuclear.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So we're going to come back with more thoughts on tonight's game a little bit later in the show. We'll have keys to victory. But Jesse, we've got more topics to discuss here.
Yes, sir.
With the Sacramento Kings from last night's game. And like one of the things that pops off the box score, Sabonis took just three shots in the second half. And I know he got fouled a few times. He went to the free throw line. But the shots, the sheer number of shots, I looked early on and I'm like, oh, okay, he's got 9 shot attempts in the first half. That's what the Kings need him at 18. And then he finishes with 12.
Yep. Just,
what's going on?
What's going on? This is who he is. That's it. I mean, we can all accept it at this point.
Okay.
Like, this is like, not in a bad way either. Domantas Sabonis is an all-NBA player. He should be an all-NBA player this year. He's a top 15 NBA player. But he is not the guy who's going to go out and probably get you 20 shots, 25 points or whatever. I think it's just time we accept that. It's not an issue where it's like, oh, now the Kings will never win. It's just more so Monty's got to work around the roster now and put the pieces around him. That'll work. Like, I'm not, what am I going to get mad at Sabonis for only taking 3 shots in the second half? Which is like, that's just who he is at this point.
I totally agree. I just think that against Nurkic, that's not who he can be. Like, Nurkic has done a good job of keeping him off the glass a little bit, but then he usually gets in foul trouble, and then it's like feasting on this team. So I actually think that that would be a good thing for the Kings. And then on top of that, we've had this situation where, if you remember, they went small. They actually used KD on Sabonis, and I need to see Sabonis just like figure that one out quickly. Like, Kevin Durant's tough because, like, he can, from a standing position, like, untie your shoes. Like, he doesn't need to lean over.
We'll put Sabonis in the same classroom as Keegan, and we'll both just, it's aggressive class.
Okay.
All right. Get to the hoop. Like, just, like, I don't know, like, we talk about it all year, and it's just, at this point, it's just kind of, like, not with Keegan. Keegan's a young player and stuff, but with Sabonis, he's old, like, not old, but he's in his prime. He is who he is at this point. Just kind of, like, we talk about it. It's just, it's not changing.
Okay. All right. No, I mean, that makes perfect
sense. You get what I'm saying, though?
Yeah, no, I do. I do. I get what you're saying. Let's get to another topic from last night's game. These are outside of 6 quick thoughts. I feel bad for Colby Jones. Colby Jones has been thrust into a role with the Kings after not playing, you know, most of the season. I mean, he's played so few minutes, it's crazy. And then for him to all of a sudden have to be part of a rotation, and the reason why he's part of a rotation is because of injury. And because he has a skill set that other players don't have, and so you're trying to see if you can capitalize on some of his skill set without having him make major mistakes. And then you get to this huge game last night, and like, look, I'm not pinning the loss on Colby Jones, but I will tell you that the dude played 3 minutes and ran a negative 15.
I mean, that's kind of like dealing with a toddler and stuff like that. Not to call Colby Jones a toddler or whatever, but like, to hear what I'm saying here, it's just kind of like he's a second round pick coming into the league in a high pressure situation. Like, that's on us, not on him. And us meaning the coaching staff. Like, what do you expect?
I totally agree. It is on the coaching staff, but also at a certain point, like, it's all hands on deck. And I, like, Mike is grasping at straws. And he's grasping at straws because that's what he's got.
Yeah, yeah. Like, at this point, you got to play Colby, but yeah. I'm not going to fault Colby for just looking lost.
Yeah. Well, so Colby comes in the game. And the reason why, like, again, I don't think plus minus is a great stat, especially for an individual game. But I will tell you that he came in the game and he turned the ball over. Then he went down on the other end and he fouled a three-point shooter at least a half second after the ball was
released. Oh, yeah, that ball was already hitting the rim, bounced a couple times, and then boom, he hits him on his hand.
And then, you know, he's saying, I high-fived him. It's like, no, you slapped him from the side and knocked him sideways. Like, it wasn't a good foul. And then he went down on the other end. And again, I'm not sure I was comfortable with him being the primary ball handler, bringing the ball up. And the first thing he did was turn the ball over again. And so in that moment, it looks bad, but like a negative 15, I felt his negative 15 in that game. Like, yeah, it was boom, 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 boom. Oh no. And almost like you can't call a timeout fast enough to try to do something different. And again, I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying that that's the reality of the situation. You put a young player in a situation that you hoped he might be able to succeed because he did that against Boston and he did that the next game, what, against Brooklyn? Well, that's not a Boston team who's sitting everybody, and it's not a Brooklyn team that's not good.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, the issue like with him not playing well, that's on the coaching staff, but I'll turn it around. I think like things like that only help Colby Jones, I feel like, going forward.
Yeah.
Getting that run and that little development. Because, I mean, he's not going to come out and, 7 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists every game. Like, he's going to play bad from time to time. But, like, those moments with him being a rookie, like, that can only help at this point.
Yeah. And I'm not blaming the coaching staff. No, the coaching staff has to try that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying as far as, like, him not playing well, it's like, just kind of like I said, it's just not on Colby.
No, it's just a situational thing. It's something that happened in the game, right? It's not something that I'm going to, like...
Just the cards you dealt at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Like, totally be accusatory. I also thought one of our other topics I threw in here, this is why HB matters. Like, Harrison Barnes matters. And, like, I don't always feel like, again, a lot of people always say, oh, you know, like to always bring up the positive Harrison Barnes. Like, look, what's happened with Harrison Barnes over the last week is unacceptable. Like, flat out. Like, flat out unacceptable. Like, dude, you owe, I'm assuming he's already talked to his teammates about what's happened. And I don't know if there's something going on or whatever, but whatever it is, he was not good for like 4 or 5 games. The road trip was just not good at all for Harrison Barnes.
Isn't that kind of who he's been over the few seasons with the Kings, though? He kind of just has these spells where he's not here or whatever, and then he's playing well, and then he's not, and then he is.
Okay, but let's just look at our show today. Like, I text you last night, hey, I need you to you know, out of the bullpen, right?
Yeah.
Like, you step up. That's what you do. You when the chips are down, when you got 8 games left in the season and you got a 4-game road trip and you don't have two of your rotational players, one of your star players, one of your rotational players, a starter. If you don't have that, like, it's go time, man. It is.
Yeah, you're not
like,
wrong.
Like, this is professional sports.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to elevate your game in this situation, not shrink.
I don't even think you have to see the funny thing with HB too. Like, I don't even think you have to elevate your game. Just be who you've been over your career.
Yeah, yeah. And then for him, the problem I think everyone has is that we just saw 4 games of just like non-existence. Like, what is going on? 1 of 8 from the field. You went 8 of 10 from the free throw line, but 1 of 8 from the field. He scored 0 points in one game. He scored 4 points or 6 points. Like, then he shows up.
It's like, where were you last week?
That's the problem though. It's like, hey, you did show up. You showed us that you didn't, like, there wasn't something wrong physically and that you didn't just, like, out of nowhere in the middle of the season get old. Like, that's not what happened, because now we have more footage of you, like, taking Valanciunas off the dribble, like, battling Valanciunas in the post. They started that game, Jesse, I don't know if you noticed, they started with Domantas Sabonis defending Zion Williamson and HB defending Valanciunas.
Yeah. The thing with HB, too, is it's kind of he kind of got the benefit of the doubt earlier in the season where it's like, well, we got Monk. He's got to get his shots. Keegan, we're working on his development. He's got to get his shots. Sabonis and Fox. Guys are hurt now, and it's just kind of like we're still dealing with the same issues. So it's like, it's not that then. Like, what is it?
Yeah. It's tough, man. I hope they get another game like they did last night out of Harrison Barnes. You know, again, this is a guy who they have
the only way they'll win again.
Relied on for a long time, and they need to have him step up. Let's get to the Colby Jones situation is one thing, but in last night's game, Mike Brown just kept going to different players, And I know some people always like to say, oh, why did he do this? Why did he do that? Chris Duarte, he throws Chris Duarte in there. He goes 0-for-2. Kessler Edwards played a minute. Alex Len played 11 minutes. Sasha Vezinkov played 11 minutes after not playing much in the previous two games. Colby Jones, of course, had the 3-minute stretch, which was tough. Trey Lyles. The one thing I will say is you cannot say that Mike Brown, and I, for some reason I saw this all over Twitter last night, like so many people, fire him, fire him. It's like the most moronic thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, and just PSA, Mike Brown's not getting fired, nor should he. His seat should not be warm, and if anything, he should be sitting on a seat of ice.
Yeah, yeah. Jesse, have you ever played solitaire?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I guess, when I was boarding school or whatever.
Okay, and you know, like if you've ever played with a deck of cards, like an actual deck of cards and you played solitaire, there's something to solitaire that people who play on the computer might not get, but people who play with cards would understand.
I'm the computer kid, by the way.
Okay, you're the computer kid. Did you know that you can't win solitaire if you don't have 52 cards?
I do now.
Well, I mean, it makes sense,
though,
right?
Full deck of cards, right?
It makes sense to you, right? Like, you've got to, it's all about suits, and you've got to fill up all the suits. If you're missing a four of hearts and a six of clubs and a seven of diamonds, you can't win solitaire because the key is to put all the cards up above. Mike Brown's playing solitaire without a full deck.
He's playing solitaire with 15 cards.
Yeah, well, he might have 48 cards, but what he doesn't have is he doesn't have a full deck. And so every single time you get to, you're searching, you're like, okay, like we could look at it as a puzzle. Like I'm missing an edge piece. Where's my edge piece? The dog ate the edge piece. Okay, well, we can't finish this puzzle. That's kind of where the Kings are at right now.
Well, yeah, because I don't think you can look at these games and like honestly, like we were talking about the Colby Jones thing. Like I was saying, it's on the coaching staff, but more so, that's not to put like, oh, why did they do that? But more so, it's like I'm not going to fault Colby Jones for that. And like on the other side, they have nothing else to do. Like they're just searching at this point. They have nothing. Like we don't even know tonight who's going to play what. We can't count on anyone probably besides De'Aaron Fox. He's just searching at this point. So it's like at that point, like how can you really truly fault him?
Well, that and Jesse, he gave Colby a shot.
Yeah.
And he goes -15 in the first half. So he didn't go back to him in the second half. He said, I've got to try something different. I'm going to give Chris Duarte a shot. Chris Duarte breaks two wide open threes. And I'm not, again, blaming the loss on Chris Duarte. That game was over no matter what. But the fact is that they are searching, and this coaching staff is doing everything that they can to try to piece this thing together. You don't have a guy who runs down on a pick and roll and sets up your big man for an easy bucket. That's why your big man isn't averaging 20 a game over the last 8 games. That's why.
Yeah, I mean, at that point with that position, you look at it, if Keon's not hitting shots or whatever, Duarte's not playing well, and whoever else is throwing it, it's just, all right, we're not getting anything from there. Hopefully someone else steps up then. Like, that's just what it comes down to.
Yeah, I just think it's a really interesting thing. I didn't like seeing it last night. I almost actually started blocking people. I'm just like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, like, we're not at the point where we're firing people yet.
No, we're not at that point at all. And you know, we'll talk about this later in the show, but Jesse, I brought this up a little bit to you earlier. Like, people forget that the first Kings, the 1988-89 Kings, win 27 games, right? It's a lockout shortened season. I think there was only 54 games that year. Maybe 52 games, 52. I think they're 27 and 25. The next year, which is year two of the Sacramento Kings, with Chris Webber, with Vlade Divac, with Peja Stojakovic, with Jason Williams, with John Barry, I think Scott Pollard is there. That team won 44 games.
It's got 3 Hall of Famers on it, too.
Yeah. How many games have the Kings won this season?
I believe they're at 45 currently.
They won more games this year than they did in year two of that build.
That's the thing, too. It's kind of the perspective of it. As bad as it's been this season, they kind of have a higher floor as far as win total.
I don't know if they have a higher...
Well, I mean, it's just like, they're not, like, they're still around, like, they're not going to hit 48 or whatever, but they're still around what they were last season, even with all the issues.
Yeah, with all the issues.
Yeah, that's what I mean right there.
No, I totally get... I thought you were comparing their potential win totals to what the teams of the early the early 2000s. This team doesn't, as of it's currently constructed, it doesn't have that ceiling, But that doesn't mean that it can't have that ceiling.
Yeah, like, yeah.
We can see this thing twist and turn between now and the end of the season. The last topic I was going to bring up too is you mentioned him there. Keon Ellis was so good the previous game, right? Keon Ellis scores a career high 26. What do you take, like 17 threes? He was 8 of 17?
No, 8 of 15.
8 of 15.
15.
Okay. You get to the second game, this next game. He goes 2 of 5 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3. Like, man, that's a young player problem.
Yeah.
And it's the, so we're going to deal with some of the issues we're dealing with Keegan, but Keon is a year behind.
Uh-huh.
And so you're going to deal
Keon,
with this.
Maybe wasn't even supposed to be in the spot at this point.
No.
And the fact that he is still in the spot says more about Keon than anything else.
Yeah, and I think he played well defensively. I think he was all over the place. I just think at the end of the day, like, you know, if I'm going to point out this guy and this guy and this guy, I also have to say, hey, for as good as Keon Ellis was last game, I needed him to find more shots.
Yeah, it's not necessarily the fairest thing, because like you said, he's a young player, but at this point, it's what the game is. We need everyone to step up.
Yeah, that's right.
No one can take a night off.
All right. Well, we've beat up this loss quite a bit. When we come back, we're going to go through the playoff implications from last night's game one more time. We're going to dive into everything that's happening around the league, and we're going to try to make some sense out of what the pathway forward is for the Sacramento Kings. We are the Insiders here on ESPN 1320. I am James. He is Jesse. We'll see you after the break.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.